Welcome back to the MJA podcast. I'm Kate Swanell. Sexual dysfunction is a common and distressing side effect of antidepressant use for many patients, and it's associated with a high risk of medication non-adherence. Obviously, keeping people on their antidepressants is very important, and so finding ways of treating sexual dysfunction is a crucial factor. Jody Rothmore is a senior clinical pharmacist at the Southern Adelaide Local Health Network's Drug and Therapeutics Information Service. She has written a narrative review on antidepressant-induced sexual dysfunction, and she is my special guest today. When we're talking about sexual dysfunction in this context, how do we define it, and what are the different kinds of sexual dysfunction?
Sexual dysfunction really refers to a problem occurring during any phase of the sexual response cycle that is causing distress to a person. And we can divide it into three main categories. Disorders on sexual drive, which would usually be a loss of libido, disorders around sexual arousal, and also disorders of orgasm or ejaculation. There are other problems as well, but they're the three main categories.
Is sexual dysfunction a symptom of depression anyway?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. About 50 to 70% of patients with depression will experience sexual dysfunction. And that makes it really complex when we're looking at, you know, whether it's the antidepressant causing the problem or whether it's the depression itself.
Does it manifest differently depending on whether it's a part of the depression or a part of the antidepressants?
There can be the same symptoms, but if it's related to the depression, it's more frequent that it'll be a problem with sexual drive, so particularly problems with libido. But the depression itself, you know, can be associated with other problems in that sexual response cycle as well. But whereas with the antidepressants, they again can cause problems with sexual drive. But what we probably more commonly associate with antidepressants is effects on orgasm, ejaculation.
Do we know if there are any particular kinds of antidepressants that are more susceptible to cause this than others?
Yes, it's a really tricky question because to compare the individual antidepressants with regard to their risk of sexual dysfunction, what we really need is some good quality prospective randomised controlled trials that are specifically looking at sexual function as an endpoint. So we would want them to be looking at sexual dysfunction at baseline and then sexual dysfunction, you know, after treatment with the antidepressant, and really measuring it, you know, with a good quality, valid, sensitive rating scale.
Do those studies exist?
Very few. Very few studies exist that would meet that sort of criteria. We've got studies where they've just asked open-ended questions about sexual function, or they've just relied on the patient coming up and, you know, saying that this is one of the side effects I've got. So we really don't have that good quality evidence to be able to accurately rank the antidepressants, you know, from 1 to 100 as to their particular risk. But we can make some conclusions from the evidence that's available at the moment. And I think it's fair to say that the SSRIs and the SNRIs all have a high risk of causing sexual dysfunction. There's a tiny bit of data that suggests that paroxetine and escitalopram might have a higher risk than the other SSRIs, but they would still be considered to be high risk. The older tricyclic antidepressants would be classified as having a medium risk, with exception of clomipramine, which would have a similar risk to the SSRIs. And then there are some antidepressants that we could confidently say would be at lower risk, and that would be drugs like meclobamide, agomelatine, bupropion and reboxetine. And mirtazapine as well has less risk than the SSRIs and SNRIs, and vortioxetine appears to have a lower risk at the lower end of its dosage. But I guess when we're thinking about those alternatives that have a lower risk, we need to think about that in the context that each of those has their own adverse effect profile that would need to be, you know, considered in the context of each individual patient. So, like, you know, we might think, oh, mirtazapine, that's a great option, less sexual dysfunction, but mirtazapine causes a lot of weight gain, so you might trade off one adverse effect for another.
Do we know what the mechanism is involved in terms of what's going on, particularly with the SSRIs? Do we know what's triggering the problem there?
Overall, it's very complex and it's not terribly well understood, but what we do know is that there's various neurotransmitters that are involved in sexual functioning, and that includes serotonin, noradrenaline, dopamine and acetylcholine, and all of those are affected to some degree by antidepressants. Serotonin particularly appears to have negative effects on sex drive and sexual function, both peripherally and centrally. And we also know that agonism of dopamine and noradrenaline can have positive effects on sex drive and arousal. So, you know, each antidepressant has, you know, differing degrees of effects on the different neurotransmitters and the different receptors. So it becomes quite complex as to what the end result is going to be.
Would you like to see more research done, and would that research be able to be of the high quality that you would be really useful?
Yeah, definitely. Just having those, you know, good quality studies comparing individual antidepressants with good quality rating scale would enable, you know, better comparisons, and then we could have more of an idea of where each antidepressant fits in terms of its risk.
I'm chatting today with pharmacist Jodie Rothmore about antidepressant-induced sexual dysfunction. Her narrative review of this topic is available at mja.com.au. Our podcasts are also available on our website, or you can subscribe via iTunes. Don't forget to leave us a review. Back to our chat. Do you get the impression that patients are well informed about this possible side effect for their antidepressant?
Because it's a fairly well-known side effect, I think, you know, a lot of doctors are, you know, doing the right thing and informing patients. Mm-hmm. But I guess one of the problems is that patients will often be reluctant to bring it up if they are experiencing that side effect. Really great if doctors can, I mean, firstly assess it at baseline because of the fact there is that overlap with the depression itself and with other conditions, and then, you know, really assessing it at regular intervals once they're on an antidepressant, because it does result in quite a high rate of non-compliance, stopping treatment because of the side effect. So it is something that's important to that we're discussing and being aware of.
So it needs an active follow-up, in other words.
Absolutely.
Once you've prescribed, yeah. Does sexual dysfunction resolve after antidepressants are stopped?
In the vast majority of cases, that's what you would expect. It would resolve fairly soon after you, you know, discontinue the offending antidepressant. So that would be the case for the vast majority of people, but there has been some recent literature that have described situations where the sexual dysfunction has persisted in the longer term after stopping the antidepressant. I should say up front that, you know, you would consider this at the moment to be a really rare side effect. So it's not something we're going to commonly see, but it was first described in the literature in 2006, and in the literature, what we've seen is case reports, case series. There is quite a bit of discussion in online communities, and the European Medicines Agency in 2019 have acknowledged the potential for this to be an adverse effect of antidepressants. So it's termed post-SSRI sexual dysfunction, but it has also been seen after SNRIs. And it may be something that's possible with some of the other antidepressants, but not reported yet.
Would that effect be permanent, or is it a matter of waiting it out and the effect wears off, as it were?
Basically, we don't know the answer to that. And unfortunately, at this stage, the treatments that have been tried have really had very limited success as well. But there needs to be a lot more research, you know, into this, into knowing, you know, well, what is the incidence? You know, why do some people experience it and others don't, more with certain antidepressants than others? And it's really difficult diagnosis to make as well, because of the fact that there are so many other possible causes for sexual dysfunction that would need to be considered. You know, is it that the mental illness that the antidepressant was being used for hasn't resolved and that's contributing to the sexual dysfunction?
Or right.
Has the person got, you know, cardiac disease or diabetes or other things that might be having an impact on sexual functioning as well? Psychological reasons, and other medications, you know, like beta blockers and thiazides, antipsychotics, all can have a risk of sexual dysfunction as well. So it'd be really ruling out all those other more common causes of sexual dysfunction. And, you know, if they didn't have sexual dysfunction before starting the antidepressant, they developed it while on the antidepressant, and then it's continuing without other changes for the patient, then you might put it down to being, you know, this problem.
So what's the evidence like for the treatments and management plans that we might have for folk with sexual dysfunction?
So ignoring the post-sexual dysfunction, because there really isn't any good guidance on managing that, and the agents that have been trialled have tended to be fairly unsuccessful. But when we look at the more common situation of someone experiencing sexual dysfunction on an antidepressant, and the first thing to say is that any treatment we decide on really needs to be in the context of the individual patient's circumstances, you know, what other medication they're on, what comorbidities they have. Well, up to 10% of patients the sexual dysfunction appears to resolve within 4 to 6 months, even if they stay on treatment. So if it's a mild sexual dysfunction, not bothering the patient too much, you might just wait it out. It would also be worth thinking about whether the treatment could be discontinued. For example, if you were treating a first episode of major depression and the patient had been symptom-free for at least 6 months, mm-hmm. it might be reasonable to slowly taper and actually stop treatment. If the antidepressants are not working very well and they're experiencing the sexual dysfunction, then that might be a situation where a different antidepressant could be tried, particularly thinking about those ones with the lower risk of sexual dysfunction, but again, bearing in mind their own adverse effect profile. The other option is if the antidepressant was working quite well, there's a little bit of evidence to say that it's a dose-related side effect, so just question whether the dose could be reduced if that's an option for that individual. If that's not, or if that doesn't work, adding in a treatment for the sexual dysfunction could be considered. And the best evidence we've got in women with antidepressant-induced sexual dysfunction is adding in bupropion. But again, you know, that is an antidepressant, and using two antidepressants together does carry some risk,
yes.
small risk of serotonin toxicity, definitely a risk for pharmacokinetic drug interaction, as well as side effect potential. And bupropion is not subsidised on the PBS, and it's not a cheap option.
No.
Okay. For men, the best evidence we've got is adding in a phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitor like sildenafil or tadalafil, and they've actually also been effective in women, particularly where the problem is a problem of around the orgasm rather than, you know, loss of libido. So they may be options that could be considered as well. One other scenario would be that the antidepressant's partially effective, then there would be an option to add in an antidepressant that's been effective in this situation. So that would be bupropion, or there's a little bit of evidence for mirtazapine being effective for some patients. But again, you know, you're using two antidepressants together, that's going to carry risk.
And yes.
the agent you're adding on will have its own adverse effect profile as well. Antidepressants can be really, really helpful. Depression and anxiety and other conditions, you know, and the consequences of not treating can be, you know, devastating for the patient and their families and the wider community. So just putting that into perspective, that it is a side effect but not a reason to avoid treatment altogether.
Yeah, that's a very good point to make. Thanks for your time, Jodie.
No worries. Thanks, Kate.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.